Mark. And Mark will introduce, and they will begin to do whatever they have to do. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. It's better to get the applause before I start, for sure. So, just want to say to you, God's put on my heart just to say you're not in this alone. We're all the body. You know, we love you. Us as a ministry of Teen Challenge, we'll be praying for you. So try to take some peace in that. Okay. It makes my problem seem very minuscule when you hear stuff like that. So, my name's Mark. I am a graduate of the Teen Challenge program. Who's not heard of Teen Challenge here? Who's heard of Teen Challenge? Who sponsors the Teen Challenge program? Hey, thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm not a preacher. But my life has been radically transformed by Jesus. And I love the Lord. Mr. Powell, really something that resonated in my heart already this morning in prayer was just a simple message. If you put Jesus first, everything else in your life will line up. And that just spoke to my heart, So thank you for that reminder. We came from London this morning. I am battling a little bit of illness, but, you know, I had such a wonderful experience here last year. I don't know if any of you guys remember the team being here, but just an incredible day. I met some amazing people, and that fellowship lunch you guys had after with the community was unreal. So thank you for that. I think Pastor Jock next year will come around. We'll do the one after Thanksgiving next year. So. We love turkey. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here. And I forgot how awesome this church was. You guys love the Lord, and, you can really feel that when you walk in. So thank you for having us. So a few of you might remember this video I'm going to show from last year. Just kind of breaks the ice. So if you want to get that queued up and play it, that would be great.
Such feelings coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky. Got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on.
Is the sound working, guys? There is a happy ending to this, I swear. Anyway, it's all good. Can we go to the PowerPoint then, guys? Oh.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. Of our elaborate plans,
we get the gist of it, right? All right. Hallelujah. All right. Let's hear it for the mouse. Hi, Janine. How are you? Nice to see you. Okay, can we get the PowerPoint slides up, guys? Okay, let's go to the first slide. So here's the usual suspects. Nate Powell is here in the building. Nate's one of our most recent Teen Challenge graduates. That's a little louder than that, guys. Let's hear it for Nate. Now, I remember last year when I was here, Nate had just started the program. And I remember speaking to you guys just like, and we knew that he was in the right place, right? And look what the Lord can do in just one short year. You have your son back. So there you go. Thank you. All right. So the rest of the guys. Joseph, say hi to everyone. Joseph's from Waterloo, Ontario. Let's introduce Mike H. He's from Gravenhurst, Ontario. And question, who's heard of St. John? Raise your hand. Better question, who's heard of New Brunswick? All right. So that's our group. So the guys are going to come up and share a bit. So let's give them a warm round of applause. Next slide.
What is reality? Reality is choosing addiction to painkillers over your family because you're unable to accept yourself. Reality is drugs having such a strong hold of your life that the sound of your crying wife and kids isn't enough to make you quit. Step up and be a responsible husband and father. Reality is walking away from a career because sobriety wasn't an option, your paycheck being spent on the very thing that was destroying you. And reality is entering into your church, wearing a mask and deceiving everybody yourself and claiming to love a God you follow. In reality is locking yourself in a cheap motel room and attempting suicide with the drugs that enslaved you. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
So do you want to know reality? Reality is locking yourself in your room and cutting yourself because for those few moments, the physical pain would block out the emotional. Reality is seeing your wife cry weekly because you're so tight for money due to the fact you're addicted to painkillers that you can't hold a job. Reality is learning to forge prescriptions and going to pharmacies all over town, praying to God that they'll work just to feed your addiction. Reality is spending 6 years at Bible college and 2 years as a pastor, then falling so hard into addiction, getting caught and arrested for BNE, and feeling so low about yourself that you want to end your life. In reality is telling your 6-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son that their daddy has to go away to a rehab. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Let me tell you about reality. Reality is living with anxiety every day to go to school because you get bullied. Your self-worth becoming the negative things that they say about you. Reality is dropping out of university and spending your loan that you get for tuition on drugs. Losing job after job because you are so dependent you can't even start the day without getting high. Reality is loading a handgun and setting it beside you, calling your parents to tell them that you're sorry and you're going to end it all. Reality is that you black out. You wake up in a holding cell to a cop slamming on the door, informing you that you've rolled your truck and you shouldn't be alive. Reality is listening to your own mother scream, cry, and plead you to stop using, and you choose the very drug that is destroying your life. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Although we've all had different realities, we've all been saved by the same truth. The truth is, my Lord and Savior has delivered me from my addiction, and now I turn to Him for comfort and strength. The truth is, amen. My wife and kids now have a man who cherishes every moment he spends with them and loves being with them all the time. The truth is, the Lord has removed the masks that define my character so many years, and now my identity comes from Christ. Truth, on August 8th of this year, I renewed my relationship with the Lord, being baptized at Teen Challenge Farm with my family, friends, and loved ones. And the truth is, the Lord has restored a lost and broken man who loves him now more than ever.
The truth is, I no longer need to cut myself because God has removed the emotional pain that's tormented my soul. The truth is, I no longer need to rely on painkillers to sustain me because I have God who gives me the strength to get out of bed every single morning. The truth is, this one sometimes makes me cry, but my wife now cries tears of joy because the man she married 8 years ago was finally back. Truth is, that after spending years at Bible college and 2 years pastoring a church, I now have a true understanding of what God's grace is really about. And truth is, after entering Teen Challenge, God has cured me from a 4.5-year battle of clinical depression.
The truth is, I've forgiven the bullies of my past. I now look to God for my identity, and I found my true identity in Him. The truth is, I forgot my line. The truth is that God uses our weaknesses to strengthen us. I know He's going to open the right door for me when the time is right. The truth is, when I was in that pit of despair, God grabbed me and dug me out of it. He prevented me from pulling the trigger that day, And when I look in the mirror now, I now love the guy who's looking back at me. Amen. And the truth is, God's restoring that relationship with my mom. She now sees the son that God's turning me back into, and she remembers and she loves.
Psalms 25:5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are Lord my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
1 Kings 17:24. For I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth.
John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
If you can't get fired up about that, I don't know what you can get fired up about. Hallelujah. Proud of you guys, man. That's, you know, it's not about how many times you get knocked down in life. It's about how many times you get back up and dust yourself off, right? So good on you, fellas. Next slide. So a bit about me. I shared a bit of my testimony last year. God has just completely turned my life upside down in a beautiful way. That's me on the left. That's what I look like when I entered Teen Challenge, all 287 pounds of me. But I always say more important than my physical transformation is God gave me a new heart. I see things completely different now. And, you know, I had expectations about right here where Teen Challenge would bring me with God. And, you know, he's just gone way above, right? So I'll just start like about 5 years ago. I was at a rehab, a secular rehab center, actually just in Belleville, not too far from here. I was introduced to around that time to a drug called crack cocaine, which for years leading up to Teen Challenge, I battled with. I was in and out of jail, committing just really, really terrible crimes. I was the scum of the earth. There's no really other way to explain it. If you saw me walking down the road, you'd probably cross the street. That was me. Teen Challenge for me was actually rehab number 6. And I know the difference this time, it's Jesus. I've tried jail to get sober, rehabs, AA, NA, counseling, medication, you name it. There was a hole in my heart that only God can fill. And I'm proud to say that I'm almost 3 years clean and sober. Yeah. So my rock bottom for me was a few years ago. I was working as a PSW at a nursing home. I was caring for a man who was dying of bone cancer. He was in his last days. He was in his 80s. You know, he was blind. He was in his palliative days, right? So we were just basically waiting for him to go. And, I would get him up in the morning, bathe him, feed him, take him across the street to get his Tim Hortons, his lotto tickets, his newspaper, whatnot. And him and his family trusted me with his bank card. You know, Mark, take care of my dad. And I completely breached that trust. In my weakest moment of addiction, I stole from him. A few thousand dollars over a two-week span. And I was arrested right at work. It wasn't too long after they figured it out. And so being handcuffed right from work and brought to jail that day, later on let go on a promise to appear in court, this story blew up in the news. I still can't explain it, but, you know, by 4 o'clock p.m., at 6 o'clock I was on the A-Channel News, a nice picture of me. It was mortifying. It really was. My friends were sending me messages on Facebook. You know, how could you? You're despicable. What kind of person have you become? The hardest part about that day was my mom. My poor mom's on her way home from work. Surprise, surprise. She hears on the radio coming home that her son's been arrested. And the encounter with my mom that night, seeing the pain in her face, she was in hysterics. She was just beating on the floor, crying like, Mark, please tell me this guy on the news isn't you. I couldn't hide anymore. It was me. And I'll never forget the pain and the disappointment in my mom's face that day. That was my rock bottom. It was terrible. That led to a very real suicide attempt. When you're hopeless, when you don't know the Lord, there is really no hope. I found myself on an overpass on Highway 400 just looking down saying, this is it.
I can't keep hurting myself. I can't keep hurting my family. This is crazy. This is chaos. That was the biggest lie I believed, that I wasn't worth it, that I wasn't worth fighting for. And I got home that night. Obviously, I didn't jump, and I prayed to God for the first time. Save me. I don't want to die. Shortly after, I was at a meeting with my addictions counselor, and she told me about this place called Teen Challenge. Not coming from a faith background at all, I was skeptic. First thing, it's Teen Challenge. I'm not a teenager, right? But I felt something in my heart move that day. This is where you need to go. That's where you're going to find healing. And I was a guy who showed up to the gates of Teen Challenge without a Bible. You know, I thought I had everything figured out on my own. Very prideful guy, very selfish guy. You know, and it wasn't until month four that I really started to understand. God loves me. I'm forgiven. Mark, you're not that despicable, criminal, lying, cheating, manipulative guy. You're pure. You're holy. You're loved. You're forgiven. I love you. You know, right? So basically what happened for me, so this was March 2nd of 2012. Who's heard of Promise Keepers here? Yeah, we're Teen Challenge. We get exposed to a lot of really cool things. Promise Keepers is one. So I'm a big sports guy. Go Leafs, go, right? Okay, all right. So the last pastor of the day had a message on the screen. There was a 400-meter running in the Olympics, 1992 Barcelona Olympics, named Derek Redmond. And this absolutely changed my life, this story. So he was favored to win the gold medal, Derek Redmond, from the United States. So he starts his race. He's running, running, running. He's on his way of accomplishing his dream in life to win the gold medal. And what happens is about halfway through the race, he tears his hamstring. Boom. Goes tumbling down to the track. His dream is over. He's crying. He's on the track. He's, you know, he's deflated. And what happened next absolutely changed my life. Derek's father came out of the stands, got through Olympic security, went to his son, picked him up, and they finished the race together, arm in arm. And the thunderous applause from 65,000 people in the Olympic Stadium was deafening. I've never heard anything like it. And father and son, they finished the race together. And the message on the screen that day for me was very simple. Trust in God. He will help you finish the race. Boom. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Mark, why are you trying to fight this addiction by yourself? There's a God that wants to help you and help you finish your race and make all your dreams come true. And that day I gave my life to Jesus. Now I'll be the first to admit my life's not perfect. I don't have all the answers, but he does. Right? And very simple. Follow him. That's all I need to do. It's so simple. I've been saved. And just my duty now is just to follow him. How simple is that? You know? So, enough about me. I'm almost 3 years out of my addiction. And that's just to the glory of God. That's not something I could have done on my own, period. Jesus. Next slide, please. So what is Teen Challenge? It is a discipleship program. It's kind of disguised as a rehab, but this is where you learn about God. And I've heard it called Bible boot camp. You're in the Word of God all day for a whole year. Now, I tell people, everyone can use a year at Teen Challenge where you don't have to focus on the stuff of this world. You can focus on God, right? And that's why you're seeing so many amazing stories coming out of this ministry, is because you plug in for a whole year. It's an opportunity. And I tell guys like that come there, it's not a punishment that you're here. It's not because you're bad. It's because you're good. You know, what an opportunity. Teen Challenge for me was the golden ticket. Mark, here's where you get to learn about God and start a relationship with him. And a year later, it's mind-boggling how we can just turn your world upside down. Next slide, please. For the guys, I've been in the ministry 3 years now. As a student, I did an internship like Nate is doing now. And as staff, you just have to have that willingness to change. You have to give it all to God. Not 99.9%. Give it all. And the program works for guys who do that. And I don't know how else to put it, but obviously we're not teenagers, or I sometimes tell a joke, I'm actually 17. This is what drugs have done to me. Next slide. All right, so you might age yourself a little bit here. Who has heard of The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson? Okay, so just a bit of Teen Challenge history. In the 1950s, a small Pennsylvania pastor felt a calling from God to go to New York City to minister to these seven teenagers up top who were on trial for murder. He didn't get in the courtroom, but he had an instant connection and a knowledge that there was a huge heroin problem amongst teenagers in New York City. So they opened up the first teen challenge in New York City in the 1950s. Present day, there's over 1,100 teen challenge centers in over 90 countries worldwide. So this man, David Wilkerson, is one of my personal heroes, because what a footprint for the kingdom of God this man left. And know what's cool, people? That same footprint is available for you, for you, for you. Nate, you too. I'm just... You know, for everybody, and just one man. One man's just obedience to God. Look where it led. And that's just really amazing to me. So next slide, please. This is where we live. This is Teen Challenge. It's in Lambeth, just outside of London. It's on a 50-acre parcel of land, a beautiful piece of property. And seeing that we're a Christian nonprofit organization, this picture was taken from our private helicopter. Just kidding. I actually don't even know how they got this photo, but yeah. On average, we have between 40 and 50 students and about 7 to 10 interns. So that's the Teen Challenge Farm. Next slide. The facts. Okay, just a couple. Actually, there's two facts I want to share with you today, if I can find them. I think the first stat is 47,000 deaths in Canada annually are attributed to substance abuse. 47,000. And the stat that I really want to kind of you to think about is 65% of the students who enroll at Teen Challenge come from a Christian home, right? So don't be fooled that the drug problem is only exclusive to the secular world. It's everywhere. And once you're kind of entangled in that web, it's very, very tough to get out of. Next slide. And here's the only stat that matters to me. It's 100% of the students who enroll at Teen Challenge are going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, next slide. Month one, day one. So this is a tough program, people. You're basically stripped of self so God can build you back up, and that's why the program's very effective. But, you know, you're limited to how many phone calls you can make per week. You're only allowed one visit, very little outside contact, right? So next slide. So a day in the life. We're up at 6:15 in the program. We're showered. We're in our nice church clothes. We're shaved. We're in the chapel for 6:45 to do our morning devotions. So we start our day with the Word of God. So in the morning, you'd be in the classroom. So there's only one book we use for our education. I'm sure you can guess what book that is. Yep, bingo. And then we have lunch. Then in the afternoon, they work. So basically, the practical real-life value of this is you're learning to get up early, you know, do work, you know, school or work, and you're done at about 4 o'clock. So some of the work details, you know, are janitorial, grounds, you know, auto detailing, that kind of thing. So the guys are very, very, very busy. Next slide. Actually, go one more. So we have an ongoing joke here at Teen Challenge. How many guys does it take to make a pot of Kraft dinner? I still don't have the answer. All I can say is at least 3. That's all I got. We're learning skills. Like, for me, I'd never cooked a day in my life, so when they went to pick my work detail, they said, you're in the kitchen. Okay, fine. Next slide. Coaching. So we have 3 on-site Christian counselors who are very, very, very good. Now, I know for me, this was huge because I didn't understand. Like, my big thing was, you know, how can I be forgiven for the stuff I'm done? It's just not possible. And they point you right to the Word of God that, you know, your identity is in Christ. You know, stop thinking you're this way because you're not. That's not what God intended for you, right? So they point you to the Bible. You know, and it's a very effective tool in kind of getting us on the right track, right? Next slide. We do have a choir. Who's heard of the Teen Challenge Choir here? So you guys know that we're not great singers. We're more like men with microphones. But it's an effective tool of our ministry because when you kind of put in perspective people, like where these guys are coming from, right? The jails, the streets, that kind of lifestyle and who they're singing to, it's very, very powerful. Next slide. Water baptism. So Joseph mentioned we do water baptism every summer at Teen Challenge. And when I was in my program, I had the honor and privilege of being baptized with 23 of my Teen Challenge brothers. How cool is that? And I think the number grew this past year. It was actually 25. But Joe, I know for some of us old guys, you know, who've been in addiction that lifestyle a long time, our dunks were about 3 minutes long, almost drowned. But praise the Lord, I came up as white as snow. Hallelujah.
Next slide. Okay, so after 12 months or sometimes longer in the program, if you've misbehaved, it's a graduation. And that's really cool because you see the families there. You get to see that, you know, just how that's been redeemed and restored. And for me, remember I told you about my poor mom? You know, my poor mom who I hurt, you know, and, you know, just basically made her just cry all the time. I was able to bring my mom up on stage at my graduation and in front of God and in front of the church, apologize. And I meant it. And she still talks about it. My mom used to say, funny story, she always used to ask when I'm in addiction, like, Mark, like, I want the old Mark back. Where is the old Mark? I miss the old Mark. You know what my mom says now? Forget the old Mark. The new Mark's way better. All right. Next slide, please. Okay, so this stat is a little old, but I just want to put things in kind of perspective here. Government-run programs would boast of about a 10% success rate. That would be a good. Teen Challenge would boast for about 70%. Right? Incredible. And I'm going to let you guess what the difference is, but show the next slide. Plain and simple. Right? Not rocket science. It's Jesus. That's the difference between our program and the rest. Next slide. We do have a women's center in Aurora, Ontario. And I guess it's just coincidence that it's 400 kilometers away from the men's center. I know, weird. We have information at the table. If you know any females that are struggling with addiction, we want to give you the proper resources. You can walk out here and hand someone a brochure. That would be cool. So next slide. Our next center is actually scheduled to open up in Newfoundland, Labrador, hopefully next year. But what happened was there was a problem with the road going to the property. So if I can ask for one prayer request today, it would be that they get the proper funding to build that road out to the center. And what's different about this Teen Challenge, it's a female center, is the women are actually going to be allowed to bring their children for the year. Right? And that makes it pretty cool. Amen? Okay, next slide. Oh, we're going to skip Nate, actually. Keep going. Okay. So I'm going to get the guys up here to do some testimony to him, but I want to talk to you about this guy here. My question for you, it would be, does the program work? Okay? This is Dean Crawford. So that's Dean on the left. This is a mugshot that was taken of Dean. Dean, his area of drug use was East Hastings in Vancouver. I don't know if you guys have heard of that area, but probably the worst area in Canada for drug use. Home of safe needle injection sites. Dean was an intravenous heroin user. Lived out of his car in that area for many, many, many years. Dean on the right, he is now a Teen Challenge graduated about 3 years ago. And remember that slide I just showed you about the Newfoundland Labrador Women's Center? Dean's going to be the director of that center. It's his center. The power of God. Nothing's impossible with God. Amen. Next slide. This guy was actually here last year. I don't know if you guys remember. This was what Josh looked like in addiction. He was known as Downtown Josh in Oshawa. This guy used to dress up like a policeman and rob drug dealers. I'm telling the truth. He was a bad dude. He used to beat people up for money. This was a picture taken of Josh when he was arrested. And Josh finished the program, graduated a few months after I did, and did internship. And Josh's internship was in the intake department. So Josh's job was to bring guys into the program, do their tours, call them on the phone, say, how you doing? You know, when can you come? And this is what Josh looks like present day. Not the same guy, I know. And you hear stories of this all the time. Now, when I got to the program, one of my mentors, he was telling me about his life. He lived in Winnipeg, been stabbed with crack pipes and just crazy. And I remember he was graduating the week I came in, and just the glow of this guy. It wasn't the same guy, and that's what I craved. I needed to go completely the other way, and praise the Lord, he brought me there. So I'm going to bring up Joseph. Joseph is in month 6 of his program. So, let's give him a warm round of applause.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, my name's Joe. I'm 38 years old. I was born in Kitchener-Waterloo to Croatian immigrant parents who worked very hard to make sure that the needs of my brother and myself were met. We attended a Roman Catholic church, and every Sunday, my family was an important part of the church community. Growing up, I struggled with acceptance from my father, who was too busy working or involved with the church, and a brother who was 5 years older than me and too busy doing his own thing to care. By the time I turned 13, I started high school. I made friends with a group of people who smoked cigarettes and pot, and as long as I joined them, I fit in. It finally felt good to be accepted. A little while later, my parents found out about my addictions and tried to discipline me, which made me rebel even more. I moved out of my parents' house at the age of 18, moved in with some so-called friends who had bigger addictions than just cigarettes and marijuana. They were addicted to crack cocaine. Living in this environment and still carrying a huge need for acceptance, I smoked crack for the first time. Once a week turned into twice a week turned into a daily occurrence, and that's when things really spiraled out of control. Before I realized it, I couldn't live without it. Crack cocaine had taken a hold of my life. This continued until the age of 27, bouncing from job to job, barely making rent every month, falling behind on my bills, and depending on my parents to help me out when they could. And in the midst of all this, without even realizing it, the Lord is with me. He had a plan for my life. I just didn't realize it yet. Eventually, I came to the point where I knew I needed a change. So I left my hometown and my former lifestyle behind. It felt good to be free. I finally had hope for a normal life. And shortly after moving to London, I got a job working in an automotive assembly plant. It's where I met the love of my life, my wife, Deborah. Not long after meeting, we started a courtship, and I began attending church services with her. You see, my wife's a devoted Christian with a true love for the Lord, which is all part of God's bigger plan I was telling you about earlier. And going to a Pentecostal church service was very different for me. After all, I never felt or had a personal relationship with God, but it was something I definitely needed and wanted. A short while later, I decided to dedicate my life to the Lord. I knew I was heading in the right direction. I just didn't realize the responsibility involved, and I never expected the next part of my life to turn out the way it did. Soon after being married, I found myself overwhelmed with the commitment I'd made to my wife and to the Lord, and I relapsed hard. I began to manipulate and lie to the ones that loved me and cared for me. I could see my marriage falling apart. My wife didn't recognize the man she had married, but I couldn't stop using crack cocaine. Once again, this drug had taken control over me. On June 6th of 2007, I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge for the first time, and on June 28th of the same year, I rededicated my life to the Lord. But only a short 4 months later, I decided to leave the program because my marriage was falling apart. I didn't trust the Lord when I should have, and tried to fix things myself. What I didn't realize at the time was that I was only making things worse. And for the next 2 years, our marriage was shaky at best. Then came the news that my wife was pregnant. I was excited, scared, and nervous, and I turned to smoking cigarettes and eventually pot again. I found comfort in the substances I was familiar with, rather turning to God in my time of worry. I always told myself I had it under control, but I was wrong, very wrong. On April 1st of 2009, my daughter Samantha was born. I was overjoyed that the Lord had blessed me with a breathtaking, beautiful little princess. And for the next 2 years, my wife and I did our best raising her in an on-again and off-again relationship. My wife always trying to encourage me in the Lord, and me always trying to do things on my own. And through it all, God was still waiting patiently for me to respond. On June 9th of 2011, my son Matthew was born. He's a very special little boy and the third piece of a very intricate puzzle. I finally felt my family was complete. I smartened up, I got my act together, and I worked hard, provided to the best of my ability, still relying on myself and not God. What a mistake. On Labor Day weekend of 2012, I injured my tailbone playing on a trampoline with my kids and was given OxyContin to help me deal with the pain. I didn't realize how addicted I'd become to opiates and how much it would cost me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I lost everything in my addiction, my family, my self-respect, and my sense of reality. I kept telling myself this is what I needed to function and to deal with the pain. And all I was doing was devastating my kids, who would cry their little eyes out because their father would have to leave for choosing painkillers over them, and continually putting my loving wife through torment. My behavior in my addictions was disgusting and selfish. I said and did horrible things to push my family away. It got so bad that they couldn't handle it anymore. The lying and the fighting had become too much to bear. And looking back at who I was, a thousand apologies could not express how truly sorry I am for the pain that I caused. I'm very thankful to the Lord for them every day. They're an absolute blessing in my life, and I truly believe that it's the prayers of a loving wife and a mother that kept me alive through my addictions. So here I am again. On May 25th of this year, I reapplied and was accepted into Teen Challenge, a lost and broken man who needed God more than ever. You see, this is where I left him 7 years ago, and this is where he's waiting for me to reach out to him ever since. His work in me is not complete, and now I see that he'll continue to shape and mold me into the man that he wants me to be, and the man my family needs me to be. And for that, I am forever grateful. Since returning to Teen Challenge, I have new hope and strength that only he can provide. He is renewing my spirit daily and restoring my relationships that I thought I ruined forever, First and foremost, with my wife and kids and my parents, all who would support me greatly through this journey. I'm not sure what God has in store for me when I graduate, but I am certain that he'll be leading the way for me and my family. I truly believe in a God of restoration, only if we choose to let him. And the scripture I'd like to leave you with is Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Can I get the next slide, brother? One back. All right, so ways to get involved with Teen Challenge. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but we are a ministry who is 100% funded by the body of Christ. Churches like you, people like you, there's no government funding. So to put it simply, with the government shackles, on come the shackles, right? They try to kind of regulate what you cannot teach about Jesus, and that's just not something we're willing to do, right? So different ways to get involved. If you have an old clunker in your driveway and you're wondering, what can I do with this car? Give us a call. We have a nice flatbed truck that we send out. We can pick it up. Right? And since we're there, we might as well grab your new Mercedes-Benz as well. But that's just one way of getting involved. Next slide. And I know you guys are fairly far away, but we're towards our Christmas concert. So it's the men's and the women's choir combined singing Christmas songs. Which is really cool. So I guess the closest one for you guys would be Newmarket, which is a bit of a hike. But if there's one thing that I'd say go to that Teen Challenge does, like to kind of really capture the ministry, it would be this. Just very, very powerful when you hear the choir sing together. Next slide. Okay, so I'm going to let Mike actually do his testimony. Mike is in month seven of his program. Seven's a good number biblically. Amen. All right. So, Mike, come on up, and then he's going to share. So let's give him a warm round of applause.
Thank you.
Can I move this stuff? It's cool. Yep.
Just give me a minute here. First of all, I want to thank you guys for just having us this morning. You know, it's always awesome to come and worship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. But, Nate, you didn't tell me I'd need to work out my shoulders to come here and worship to keep my arms up, because it gets tiring after a while. And you have to excuse the red pants. I didn't know that the pulpit was see-through. I would have chose a different attire for this morning. But so like Mark said, my name's Mike. I'm 34 years old, and this has been my journey. I grew up in a Christian home with my parents, older brother, and younger sister. We went to church every Sunday in a Christian campground called MBC during the summers. Has anyone ever heard of MBC, Muskoka Bible Center? Awesome place. If you haven't go. At the age of 4, I was blessed to meet my friend Ian, and we became closer than brothers. Through him and the teachers at my Sunday school, I accepted Jesus into my life at age 7. You know, growing up in my house was tough. My parents were really strict, and I was not allowed to do things that most people had the choice of doing. I felt out of place, and I didn't enjoy being a Christian. I was embarrassed about it. Christianity, to me, was about rules and don'ts, not about what it really is about, relationship. In high school, I learned to hide the fact that I was a Christian, to be more accepted by others, and for a while it worked. Ian and I went to the same high school, and it was solid having someone there who understood my struggle. But on March 26, 2007, Ian was in a car accident. I rushed to the hospital, and for the next 3 days, I begged and I pleaded with God for him to save my best friend. Through many surgeries and a lot of waiting and prayer, he died 3 months before his 18th birthday. For the first time in my life, I had something against God. He took away my friend, who I considered a brother. To deal with the anger, I began to cut myself, because for those few moments, like I said, in my reality is, the pain would block out the emotional pain. But soon that wasn't enough. I started experimenting with different drugs to escape at any point during the day. On the way to, during, and after school, drugs made life seem bearable, and school soon became a joke. My grades suffered as a result. Over the years, I'd become a pretty decent football player and decided to pursue a dream of one day doing this as a career. I had received multiple letters of interest from different universities to come and play, but due to my academic record, this dream was unattainable. being frustrated, hearing from teachers and my own parents that not everyone is meant to go to university, I dropped out of high school. When I turned 18, I was recruited to play in the CJFL. You know, this was an amazing couple years for me, traveling across Ontario and Quebec, paid vacations on the weekends. Girls, drugs, and alcohol was my new lifestyle. I literally felt like a rock star. I was moving closer towards my dream. I was also recruited to play for Team Canada and was registered to try out for the Toronto Phantoms, which was Toronto's team in the Arena Football League. But during winter training camp in 2001, going out for a pass, I blew out my knee. 5 knee surgeries later, my knee has never been the same. You know, I got even angrier at God. It seemed like he kept taking things away from me. First my friend, now a career. I was ready to end it all. I felt like I had nothing left. With no education and no future, I became reckless. Looking for a way out, I totaled 2 cars, spent most of my money on drugs and drinking, and I felt like I had nothing to live for. A friend of mine invited me to church where a few guys were sharing their testimonies just like we're doing today. Their stories hit me hard. They had similar struggles, but through Christ, their lives have been changed. That Sunday, I gave in and I broke down. I rededicated my life, and over the next year, I completed high school, sought Jesus, and through prayer and being mentored by a man at the church, felt the call to go to Bible college. I applied and was accepted, and in 2001, I started my degree. I grew closer to God and got heavily involved in an amazing church. I led the junior high group for 3 years and the senior high group during an internship. I was surrounded by godly men that at the church that would mentor me and take time weekly to meet with me. This kept my walk moving forward. Near the end of my time at college, I'd been dating a girl for some time and was given the offer from one of my buddies to go out with him and his wife to a cottage of a friend. The only catch was I had to break up with my girlfriend at the time. There was a girl up there that I was supposed to go and meet. And this girl was young, she was pretty, and she was single. Dangerous combination. And a wise man once said to me, "You don't want to be holding the wrong girl's hand when the right one walks by." So I met my girlfriend for coffee, did what I had to do, and was on my way up to Muskoka to meet my beautiful future wife. We met, we were engaged in just over 6 weeks, married 7 months after that. And like they say, when you know, you know. Along with getting married that year, I graduated Bible college with a Bachelor of Religious Education, and we were attending an incredible church where my wife was on staff. Life was a true blessing. 2 years after we were married, our daughter was born. And a few months after that, I got a full-time job at a church as a youth and young adults pastor. Within the first week, the senior pastor resigned, and I was left as the only pastor on staff. The church was hurting. Being asked to take on more responsibility, I took on an associate role. And I started thinking that I had to prove something to the church and somehow save it. I started doing things on my own strength. Forgetting what I had learned about walking in the Lord's strength, I quickly grew weary and tired. To deal with the stress of everything, I realized that the painkillers I was taking for my knee seemed to make life a little better. They would make me a little more relaxed. I'd enjoy life more. Little did I know, this would turn into addiction and later on bring my life to ruin. We had been advised by an experienced outside pastor to resign from my position due to the leadership and internal problems that were causing me so much stress. So we did. We moved up to Muskoka to start fresh. But rather than seeking God's direction after that, I gave up. I felt like a failure. My friends in ministry were moving forward, and I felt like I was moving backwards. We stopped attending church for a while, and during my battle with clinical depression, life became unbearable. To deal with life better, I realized that a handful of pills were better than just a few. In 2011, we were blessed with a son. That year, I felt vocational ministry was no longer an option. I began a new path into the fire service. I was hired on as a part-time firefighter and also graduated fire college in Texas. I was moving forward with new aspirations, but my addiction still had a strong hold on me, and soon a handful of pills was not enough. I had to find new ways to get more. Stealing from family and friends, forging prescriptions, and getting them filled at different pharmacies took up most of my time. I wanted to stop. I knew it was wrong, but I did not have the power to do it alone. I was too embarrassed to talk to my family about it. April this year, due to different circumstances, my secret addiction was brought to light, and I had no other choice than to confess to my family. I felt at my lowest. Knowing about Teen Challenge from my past ministry experience and having family being yearly supporters of the ministry, we decided that Teen Challenge was my best option. Since being here at Teen Challenge, I've had to learn to fully rely on God. In my fifth month, I had learned that my local newspaper had printed an article about my struggles with addiction and my legal issues. The headline read, "Youth Pastor Can't Practice What He Preaches." That hit me hard. I've had to learn to forgive those who have hurt me in the past. The person who ran into my best friend and killed them. The church that had broken us from ministry. I've also been able to start mending the relationship with my wife. My wife and I are falling back in love with all over again. When we speak, she cries tears of joy because she's getting the old mic back. The one she fell in love with years ago. Through Christ, healing has taken place in my life. He has given me new desires and passions, and he has restored my relationship with him. You know, he's not in the business of starting things and leaving them half finished. Any work that he starts is a pledge from him to see it through. If I had started the good work for myself, I would have given up a long time ago. But God surpasses my desires. His love for me overpowers my will. God has started a good work in me years ago. Yes, I have wandered and I have wavered, but each time God's intervention has brought me back. The verse I want to leave with you is Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. I don't know where God's going to take me after Teen Challenge. I do know that with my new heart, I will be a godly leader to my wife and kids. I will be the father and the husband that I'm called to be. I thought I was finished with ministry, but God is giving me a new passion and desire for it. I'd also love to pursue firefighting full-time, but no matter what and no matter where I go, I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you. Okay. I get to keep going. That's cool. Normally, I don't get the microphone this long. You know, and especially for men, it's hard for us to ask for help. I'm sure you guys can understand that. You know, we have that mentality that we want to do things on our own. And I know that's why so many of us fall into addiction and it lasts for so long, is because we think we can do it for so long. You know, I guess to the point that the weight, it gets too heavy. You know, in Romans 12:9, it says, share with God's people who are in need. Being a guy having a hard time asking for help, you know, we're asking for help today. We're asking you guys to help us at Teen Challenge. You know, like Mark was saying, we're 100% donations. Food donations, money donations. We don't take any money from the government, because then they would be able to dictate what they teach at Teen Challenge. And we will not compromise on what we teach there, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's an option. You know, we'd love a one-time gift. There's sponsorship. Sponsorship's available. You can sponsor student, one, two, or there's 40 of us at the farm. If you want to sponsor 40 of us, you can do that too. But it's pretty cool. You know, you get quarterly updates of what we're up to. We send out letters, send out pictures, and, you know, you become part of our lives. It's not just the money that goes out each month that you hope gets there. It does get there. We know we have sponsors that send us books, cards, and they always seem to show up on the days when you need them most. The days where you want to leave, your life coach comes out, "Hey, I got a card for you from a sponsor." A few weeks ago, we were at a choir outreach, and I met one of my sponsors. It was really cool. 87-year-old woman. You know, she came up, and she just hugged me. And it's really cool to be able to put a face to that card. Just weeks before, when I was having a rough day, I got a card from Helen. So it was pretty cool to be able to see that. And yeah, so you can send books, you can send letters, and if you want to send us a case of Pepsi, we won't deny that either, because pop is very limited where we're at. But it's just one way to invest into the kingdom of God. You know, you look at the last few verses in John 21:17, you know, Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Then feed my lambs. He asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know I love you. He says to him, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He asks him a third time. Peter says, you know I love you. Jesus says to him, then feed my sheep. That's what we're asking. We're asking you to help feed Jesus' sheep. You know, there's 40 of us at the farm, and, you know, we can't do it on our own. We gave up, finally came into Teen Challenge, and, you know, God has been, you hear our stories today, God's been doing some amazing work in our lives, and we'd love you guys to be a part of that. You can pray for us. If you can't give, we just ask for your prayers. We covet your prayers because you guys know the power of prayer is incredible. The power of prayer changes lives. It's changed our lives, changed Nate's life, and that's what we ask for. So afterwards, please come see us at the table. Come visit us. Come get to know us. Get to know our stories. And we'd love to share more about what God is doing in our lives and about our families. And go from there. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yes. So actually, just a quick note here that Mike and Joseph both have sponsorship cards on the table. You can sponsor one of these young men today. So just in a nutshell, for $40 a month, that's a price of one Tim Hortons a day, right? Or one Starbucks a month. You know, you can really help these guys out. So anyway, with that, Pastor Jacques, I'll call you back up. God bless you. This is one of my favorite churches to come to every year, so I can't wait to see you guys next year. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So I guess you... You understand a little bit. Maybe some of you weren't too much. Didn't know about Teen Challenge, but now you know. And I'm gonna ask you to stand if you want. And if anybody you came in here and you feel that you have to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, we'll be here at the front. The young men will be at the table. You can go and look at the material, whatever. You can. We have coffee over there. You can stay for a while. We can fellowship. And God bless you. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, Father. I want to thank you, Lord, that there is an answer, Lord. And that answer is found in you, Lord. Totally submerged in your presence, Lord. And Father, I pray not only for a Teen Challenge, but I pray for all the members of this church, Father, that, Lord, they will be totally immersed in you, Father. And Lord, as we go on and fast this week, I want to thank you, Lord, for answer to our prayer. We give you thanks, we praise you, Lord, and we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. So if you want to put some music softly, and you guys